Hi, I'm Dr. Talis Barker from waterfasting.org. Today I'd like to talk about one of the biggest issues we have in health today, and that is the epidemic of high blood pressure. A recent survey by the Center for Disease Control reported that approximately 48% of Americans, that's nearly one in two, half of Americans, suffer from high blood pressure today. And out of those 170 million people suffering from high blood pressure, approximately 50% of those are on medication. The situation is that bad. We're talking about 80 to 90 million people taking medication every single day. Now, this is not just a problem in terms of the human issue, it's also a massive economic issue. A similar report from the CDC also reports that approximately $130 billion every year is spent dealing with issues directly related to high blood pressure. Perhaps the biggest problem here is that if you follow conventional medical wisdom, what you'll hear is that there is no cure for high blood pressure. You take your meds for the rest of your life. And this is kind of like a death sentence that many doctors will give their patients. Patient rolls up with high blood pressure, a prescription is prescribed, and you hear those words again and again, you'll be on these meds for the rest of your life. What I'd like to focus on in this video is the fact that you can use water fasting to help heal from high blood pressure. We're going to talk about temporary improvements as well as permanent change, permanent improvement to be able to get off your meds and live a healthy life. So in today's video, we're going to start by looking at the causes of high blood pressure. We need to understand what these are in order to understand how fasting can help. We're going to talk about the key considerations that are really important if you are fasting in order to heal from high blood pressure during your fast, after your fast, the things that matter. And because, again, 80 to 90 million Americans are on high blood pressure medication, it's also going to be really important to take a look at dealing with meds during a fast. Because in the end, medication is toxic. You get it wrong, that's not a good thing. So this is going to be an extended video, and I hope you'll bear with me to get to the bottom of how you can heal from high blood pressure too. Before we actually cover the causes of high blood pressure, it's really important to understand what blood pressure is and therefore what high blood pressure is. So think of blood pressure like a plumbing system. You've got pipes in your body, obviously, and you've got fluid in those pipes. And there are two variables which will determine your blood pressure: the amount of fluid in those pipes and the diameter, the bore of those pipes. So the problem with high blood pressure is that effectively you've got too much fluid for the capacity of your pipe size. And inversely, if your pipes are too constricted, that likewise is going to impact on pressure. So with that in mind, let's get to probably the most well-known issue which can drive high blood pressure, and that is sodium intake in your diet. Sodium makes the body hold on to water. It's that simple. And if you think about if you've been out to a restaurant, you've had a salty meal, how does your face look the next day? Exactly. There's going to be a level of fluid retention because sodium makes your body hold on to water. Now, besides this, probably the most important issue is stress, because stress also affects how your body handles sodium in the first place. So stress is effectively a fight or flight response, and adrenaline goes up and cortisol goes up, those familiar hormones. In addition to that, your adrenals also pump out another hormone, which is called aldosterone. Aldosterone basically commands the kidneys to hold on to salt, not to allow salt out in the urine. So, when you're getting stressed, yes, cortisol goes up, adrenaline goes up, aldosterone goes up, and you start holding on to more sodium, which then leads to higher blood pressure. As if this weren't bad enough, stress has another effect. Obviously, fight or flight is a kind of neurological response as well, which effectively drives what's called the sympathetic nervous system. Now, when your brain recognizes a threat, puts you into elevated sympathetic nervous system dominance, another hormone that it drives is called angiotensin. Angiotensin has the ability to control the muscle tone in the muscles which surround your blood vessels. Effectively, it's what's called a vasoconstrictor. It constricts the diameter of your blood vessels by tightening the smooth muscle. So we've got a double whammy in a way that stress is going to increase aldosterone. Your body holds on to more sodium. It elevates angiotensin, which then constricts your blood vessels. And for a moment, we might wonder, why is our body doing this to us? The thing is, the body never does anything to harm itself, if at all possible. The problem here is that evolutionarily, we are designed to cope with acute stress, acute fight or flight, to fight or flee from the proverbial lion. And we need high blood pressure or elevated blood pressure to be at our most efficient. Think of a sprinter in the blocks before a race. If you're all floppy and relaxed, you're going to be the last one out of the blocks and lose the race. So to have that elevated level of blood pressure, to be able to get out of the blocks and run, is really important in terms of dealing with an acute threat. The problem is, that's not really the problems we're dealing with anymore in life. We deal with chronic stress, and we simply are not designed to cope with that. So sodium and stress are the most important factors which lie behind high blood pressure. In addition to that, there are a couple of other factors which are worth mentioning. Smoking, for instance. Smoking, we know it's bad for us. One of the reasons it's bad for us here is that nicotine in the cigarettes also drives the sympathetic nervous system. It's an upper, it gives you energy. It puts you into a kind of a mini fight or flight situation in terms of the biochemistry. Vasoconstriction as a result. Your blood vessels will constrict. In addition to this, simply obesity is an additional fact which very often is associated with higher blood pressure. This is a very complex relationship here, especially when it's connected with what's called metabolic syndrome. That's a subject for another video entirely. But just to understand at least that being overweight is going to make the issue of high blood pressure a little more complicated. Finally, hereditary factors. Sometimes it's just in our genes to be a little more predisposed towards high blood pressure. Now, we can't do anything about that. But when you look at all the other issues which ultimately drive high blood pressure, there certainly is something you can do about it in terms of lifestyle. And if your body has already become dysregulated so that high blood pressure has become the norm, this is where fasting comes in. In understanding how fasting helps lower blood pressure, we're going to refer back to those two main variables, fluid content and the diameter of your plumbing pipes in the blood vessels. So, the first thing is fluid loss. Now, take away the fluid, you lower blood pressure. That's exactly what happens during a water fast. And actually, the significant majority of all weight lost on a water fast is not fat, it's body fluids. So let's say you do a 7-day water fast. Maybe you lose 7, 10 pounds, it's kind of variable. The actual amount of fat that you're going to lose is somewhere in the region of maybe 2 pounds maximum. The rest is fluid loss. So very, very clearly, you're going to experience a decrease in blood pressure because your fluid content is being reduced through the fast. In addition to this, fasting will also have a profound impact on your whole hormonal calibration. And this does include a restructuring, effectively, of how your adrenals work. So not only is it going to be a question of lowering cortisol, it's also going to lower aldosterone. So your body's going to be less predisposed in the first place to hold on to that sodium, because your whole underlying makeup is going to be out of fight or flight and much more into a so-called rest and digest, or in the case of fasting, a rest and healing mode. Now, along with that hormonal recalibration, there's also going to be a neurological recalibration. And the two go hand in hand in a way. But in neurological terms, what happens during a fast is that the sympathetic nervous system, which drives fight or flight, is going to be calmed. It's going to be counterbalanced by an upregulation of your so-called parasympathetic nervous system. It's very, very simple. There's a direct relationship between blood glucose and your two basic types of nervous system, sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system. Once blood glucose has gone down enough, your parasympathetic nervous system just starts kicking into action a lot more effectively. So you can see, in doing so, bringing down your sympathetic nervous system dominance means that the whole issue of the angiotensin that we talked about in the last section, which constricts blood vessels, is going to be likewise calm. There will be less angiotensin as a result, a little bit more relaxation in your blood vessels, and that will also bring down your blood pressure. So what does this all mean for the actual improvement in your blood pressure? I think it's really important to distinguish between temporary improvement and permanent change, permanent improvement, because both really relate to how water fasting can help. If you think about the example of a 7-day fast that I gave in a previous section, you lose a lot of fluid, absolutely. There and then, in real time, your blood pressure will go down. But you get to the end of the fast, your body's going to put back a lot of that fluid. And so, to a large extent, the fluid lost during a fast is only going to be a temporary improvement during the period of the fast itself. In order to experience permanent change, you've got to go long enough to start significantly impacting on the way your body processes hormones and the way that interacts with your brain and the whole neurological setup of sympathetic versus parasympathetic nervous systems. Now, if we have to kind of just get down to raw numbers, what are we talking about? Well, yeah, I would say a 7-day fast is all about temporary change, a temporary relief of your high blood pressure. In order to go deep enough where those hormonal and neurological changes have started to take place, it's very difficult to give a precise number. That is largely driven by the number of factors leading to someone's high blood pressure. It's influenced by fasting experience. There are a lot of very, very individual elements involved here. What I would say is that typically from 14 days onwards, you start to see a longer term change. Typically, when we're talking about a real total recalibration of the adrenals, 21 days is kind of like a magic number. It really does work wonders. In terms of, let's say, someone who has very severe neurological issues, very often you have to be looking a little longer than that. But as it relates to long-term, if not permanent improvement with blood pressure, yeah, you'll start to see those changes taking place with approximately 14-day fasts and longer. The more fasting you do, the more effective subsequent fast will be. And that also means that you can start actually seeing improvements even with fasts which are shorter than 14 days. The main thing, though, is just get in there and do some fasting. When you're fasting in order to lower blood pressure, there are a couple of key considerations you need to keep in mind, both during the fast and after the fast. Now, probably the most obvious is after the fast, avoid a high sodium diet. It speaks for itself. To that extent, actually, fasting can also help in the sense that fasting tends to lower someone's need to put salt on their food. You feel satisfied with less. I know that's certainly the case for me. When I first started fasting, my sodium intake was probably pretty average, but over the years, I've just noticed that I don't really need it. And right now, I am perfectly happy not to live with any salt on my food, actually. So if you have felt just you need the salt, fasting will help that out. Now, if salt is one of the big issues in high blood pressure in general, stress is the other. And that is absolutely applicable to how you conduct your fasting protocol. Now, if you're stressed during your fast, that defeats the whole purpose. And here, stress needs to be applied in the broadest sense of the word. Physical stress. Even if you've got all the energy to go out there for a 10-mile walk and feel great about it, don't do it. Because as much as generally I would suggest if someone has the energy, enjoy a bit of fresh air. Walking, physical activity, is going to push your sympathetic nervous system up a little bit and bring your parasympathetic nervous system a little bit down, further into the background. Stress also applies to mental issues here. So I have many clients who will say, "Ah, my job is just in front of the computer. I'm not really stressed, it's easy." But even if you're not physically stressed with a lot of movement, even if you're not emotionally stressed with work in front of a computer, with an easy job, the simple fact that you're in a focused state of mind, which effectively means you're in a beta brainwave state, if you want to get technical, being in a focused beta brainwave state is not going to help in terms of really allowing your sympathetic nervous system to calm down. So really, that's very, very important to keep in consideration during the fast. And obviously after the fast, you can bring your blood pressure back into a beautiful state. But if you're going back to a lifestyle which is high stress, it's going to defeat the whole purpose. And what would have been permanent change is very unlikely to remain that way. Okay, a final consideration when you're fasting to lower blood pressure is absolutely, how do you deal with meds? Because again, we're talking 80 to 90 million Americans are on high blood pressure meds today. And how you deal with those meds during the fast will potentially make or break the success of that fast. And potentially, if you get it wrong, lead to pretty severe side effects and consequences. So that's what we're going to focus on in the next section. In understanding how blood pressure medication works, we're going to come back to the same two basic principles we've touched on before. The two variables being fluid content and the diameter of the pipes running through your plumbing system. Blood pressure meds will achieve a very similar effect to what fasting does. The primary difference, of course, being that in one, your body is doing it, you have the possibility to heal permanently. In the other, drugs do have side effects, and there's no possibility for a long-term healing. Touching on fluid content first, there is a whole class of drugs which will achieve that end, diuretics. Diuretics help your body just flush fluid, lowering fluid content and thereby lowering blood pressure. The other main way that most blood pressure medications work is by directly interfering with the way your body uses angiotensin, that hormone which constricts your blood vessels. One method is to use beta blockers. Now, you've probably heard of beta blockers as being a medication which helps to deal with anxiety. What is anxiety? It is a sympathetic nervous system dominance. Bring that down, calm down, and you calm high blood pressure too. In doing so, of course, you lower your production of angiotensin. Another method of doing so, another so-called mode of action, is to use what are known as angiotensin II receptor blockers. This class of drug deals with blocking the receptors on the smooth muscle cells surrounding your blood vessels, and by blocking those cell receptors, the angiotensin can't get in there to constrict those blood vessels. Another class of drug which will lower angiotensin right from the start is to use ACE inhibitors. ACE inhibitors simply lower production of angiotensin in the first place. There's also another category of drug known as a calcium channel blocker. This works entirely differently. It's to do with so-called calcium channels in the heart, which also through high blood pressure get constricted. Your heart's got to pump really hard, and taking these types of medication will allow the heart to relax a little bit, thereby lowering blood pressure. Now, when you're fasting and you're on meds, you really need a highly individualized protocol to deal with the situation. You cannot simply drop them all. That would be really, really unwise. On the other hand, if you just keep taking them at full dosage, that sort of defeats the whole purpose. You need to find a middle ground. And in helping to find that middle ground, please talk to your doctor. Really important. And also, please talk to a water fasting expert like myself, somebody who understands how medication and water fasting can work together. So, as much as I can't get into specifics right now here in this public video, do know that there is a way forward managing your meds, but it needs to be done professionally. And when you get it right, this is the route to coming off your meds. What I see with most of my clients is that they start their fast at full dosage, and when they finish their fast, it has reached the point where they simply don't need their meds anymore, assuming, of course, that they have done a fast which is long enough to achieve a full healing. I hope this video has given you hope for lowering your blood pressure. Fasting really, it's almost miraculous the way that you can see people come in highly medicated and leave free. It really is a wonderful thing to see. If there are any issues which I've not covered related to high blood pressure and fasting, feel free to leave a comment. If you enjoyed the video, please like, or even better, subscribe. Thanks for watching.